live, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some.
Kia ora and welcome to Kickarts with Taylor and Adam. Welcome. Proudly brought to you this June by Foolish Wit Theatre. Kickarts is Aotearoa's comprehensive arts show brought to you on Planet FM at 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight, we are back for the second time, filling in for Emma and Stephen, who are busy with mahi around the country, and we might catch up with them if we're lucky. But we also have some brilliant guests from dance showcases to music makers to talk to tonight. To kick off the show, here's Georgie Girl by The Seekers. A little spoiler as to what Stephen's been up to when we check in with him.
Hey there, Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear?
You're always window shopping, but never stopping to buy.
So shed those dowdy feathers and fly
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be. A new Georgie girl. Hey there, Georgie girl, dreaming of the someone you could be. Life is a reality, you can't always run away.
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
It's time for jumping down from the shell
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be.
We're back, Adam.
We're back. We're so back.
I know. For those of you who don't know and have missed it, you need to go back to when we last hosted the show.
Which was like in like March or something.
Was it? Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea.
Oh, time flies when you're having fun. Right, Adam?
Yeah.
Right?
You could say
anyways,
like that.
What I'm trying to say is we were allowed back.
I guess we didn't do so bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. How have you been, Adam?
I've been doing pretty good. Well, I was just in here 2 weeks ago. I think it's been a little bit longer for you. Yeah, I was in here with Emma. We had a great time. But since then, I've done some pretty cool stuff. So I may have mentioned every so often when I'm on air that I work at Weather Workshop Unleashed. That's pretty cool. A couple weeks ago, we did an event for a massive thing called Meetings. It's a whole bunch of overseas events agents, and they were looking to book Weather Workshop Unleashed, and I got to put on a really cool costume and scare a whole bunch of really important corporate people, which was a lot of fun for me.
Nice. That sounds like a cool job.
What about you, Taylor? What have you been up to?
Well, nothing compared to that. Nothing. I am back in Tāmaki at the moment, as most of you know, or some of you know, or no one knows.
Who knows?
I'm in Auckland at the moment shooting season 4 of a very special show close to my heart.
Ooh.
That I talk about on air that I'm not sure if I'm supposed to talk about.
I was about
now.
To say, is this like you can talk about
beans?
It.
No, we won't.
I was about to say, that's up to you.
But season 4, it's happening, so that's what I'm doing in Auckland at the moment. It's great to be here.
Awesome. All right.
A little bit of sad news, Adam. I just wanted to acknowledge the passing of an amazing, amazing novelist as part of our Aotearoa New Zealand whānau. We are deeply saddened to hear of the passing of Morris G., New Zealand writer, novelist, a literary giant. I think, yeah, it's really important to acknowledge these people, and I just want to do that by saying, reading out something that he once said. Morris said, "I write because I have to, not because I want to. It's a way of making sense of things." And I love that.
That's incredible.
And I think we can maybe talk about that a little bit in the show tonight as we talk to our artists. Maybe. But, you know, our thoughts here at Kick Arts are with his whānau and friends and all the people that have been moved by his work. Farewell, Morris G. On the phone, waiting there, called earlier.
Is he there, Stephen? Hello.
Hey, guys, how you going?
We have him. We've got Stephen.
We're good.
We're doing good.
You're good?
Missing you in the studio, but hey.
Thank you for filling in. And look, season four, Taylor, I think that is something to celebrate in the film and television world around the world at the moment. Getting to season two of anything can be a challenge. So you should be excited and shouting that from the rooftops. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Stephen. What have you been up to?
Well, coming on, you just played the song Georgie Girl to kick the show off.
Yes.
Adam's probably going, what is this piece of music he's made me play?
Okay, no, I've heard it a couple of times. I don't know much about it, though.
It's from the fabulous Australian artist, The Seekers. Now, The Seekers were a folk music group back in the 60s who released all this incredible music. Three older guys, and then they roped in this young girl in her early 20s called Judith Durham, and they turned folk music into pop music, basically. And they had a really interesting journey, travelled the world. They got swept up in the UK in particular, in Asia and America. And some sad things happened along their life. She had a major brain embolism and various other things along the journey. Now, Papakura Music Theatre were the first people in New Zealand to premiere the brand new piece of work, Georgie Girl, the musical, which just got released last year in Australia. A fabulous piece of theatre which tracks her story and all the songs that they're most well known for. Now, I grew up on The Seekers. My children curse when it comes up on the playlist in the car, which is probably,
you know,
Adam's heard it as well.
No. I was going to say, I remember hearing that the song Keep a Dream in Your Pocket on loop when I did AV for the Kids for Drama 30th Showcase. I heard that song probably dozens of times.
And as look, as a kid and a teenager, we went to the concert, which was a big thing back then. Two times here, once in Australia, and then about a decade or so ago, they did a sort of like a reunion. I mean, they're now sort of in their 70s or 80s, and they were meant to come out and perform, but unfortunately cancelled. And I brought my parents tickets to this, which getting, you know, your elderly parents into Spark Arena is quite a mission, and they were too sick to go on. They cancelled. So you got your ticket rebooked for a night with Andre Rieu, which is a fabulous classical performer, months later. Took mum and dad to that instead. And at the end of a two-hour show, Andre finishes the show by going, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that we were filling in for The Seekers, who unfortunately cancelled earlier in the year when they were sick. Well, have I got a surprise for you?" And then they walked on stage. Now, you'd already sat through a two-hour concert. They then walked on stage and did another two-hour concert.
What?
And you've got to remember your whole audience, like in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. It was so cool. So, look, big ups to Papakura Theatre Company for producing this for the first time. I felt like it's a script that's probably, you know, getting tweaked and things as they perform it and work it all out. It had that vibe. But the singing from the cast was outstanding. It honestly was like taking you back to The Seekers. And do you know what I enjoyed the most? Watching the audience of senior citizens calling out, screaming, chanting, clapping like they were at a concert. They just had the time of their life. I half watched the show and half watched the audience.
sounds phenomenal.
It was really cool. So if anyone would like me to direct it next year, just let me know, because I am the Seekers King of New Zealand.
Oh, okay. Self-declared.
But apart from that, down here in Tauranga today with another fabulous Jersey Boys rehearsal, we had the lovely moment of all the crates arrived this week with all the costumes and props and sets from the fabulous GNT Productions, because this is the touring consortium. So cool to just open up those crates and Frankie sees his 20 or 30 costume changes all neatly hung up, ready to go. It's exciting stuff.
Ooh.
So exciting. Well, after that, we probably need to let you get to bed. Have you had a cuppa, feed up, you in your dressing gown? Big day.
Absolutely. You know me well. But I'll continue to listen to you guys for the rest of the evening. And you have a fabulous night chatting for our wonderful guests in the studio.
We absolutely will. Thank you so much, Stephen.
All good. Just one thing, something that we've been telling our listeners, that Emma and I are not going to be back on it together till September, but for the Master Epi weekend and rehearsals cancelled, Emma and I are back in the studio next week, so watch out.
Shock.
Watch out.
Oh, shock. Good.
All right. Wonderful, Stephen. We will
all
see
right,
you.
Have a great night, guys.
See you. Oh, they will be back next weekend, back in the studio.
That's a surprise
together.
For sure.
Yeah, how nice. How nice. They might go, oh, yep. Well, we're sick of each other. We'll come back and do this again.
Well, hey, they haven't been around for quite a little while at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It's good for us, though.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We have two wonderful human beings in the studio. One is first time here. One is basically a regular. No, but has been here before. We have two performers that are part of a larger Pacific Dance Festival, which is on at the moment. Woohoo! And your specific piece is Moana Showcase. Kia ora, kōrua, welcome. Welcome back. Awesome to have you. Introduce yourselves, who you are, fun fact, I don't know, if there's anything else important we should know about you as you introduce yourself. Take it away.
Kia ora, I'm Lily Mae Baird. I'm a third year student at the moment at Unitech. I study contemporary dance with Leilani, who's my collaborator and lovely friend who I've met. I'm 20 years old. I grew up in Christchurch but moved here a couple years ago. Yeah, and I'm a dancer, I'm a creator, I'm an artist.
Sweet!
Talofa, my name is Leilani Grace. I'm also a third year dance student at Unitech. All of the above that Lily Mae just said. I'm an artist, I'm a mover, I'm a creator, and I'm just really excited to be here.
Cool. Yes. Amazing. Thank you. Great intros. The showcase. What do we got to know about the showcase?
Right, so this showcase is called the Moana Showcase. This year is a bit different, so before, in previous years, it used to be individual artists coming in, presenting their works on the showcase. Mm-hmm. But this year, it's just tertiary performances. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a combination of University of Auckland, New Zealand School of Dance, and Unitech.
Wow.
Oh, what's it like collaborating across different, like, learning, teaching institutes? Like, what are the other kids like?
I bet they're great. I would say Lily Mae has been working with some of the UOA students, and I think they should speak to that.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's really cool meeting people from across the country, even across the city. We don't get to collaborate very often. We all are quite separate in our institutions, so I'm really excited for this showcase to meet everyone. We can be under the same roof for one of the first times probably ever for most of us who are involved.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, so cool. So you all get together and tell me more. Why is it Moana? Is that the links into the theme, or like what else is there to know?
Yeah, so Moana will be presenting three works from the Unitech cohort. Course. Oh my gosh, sorry. Shout out Tamsin. But yes, this will be based around the Pacific choreographers at Unitech. So it'll be me, Komai Wangalevu. We have Lily Mae as my co-choreographer and Nate Gakusa.
Yeah, and all the students who, all the works that are in the showcase are either created by or danced by Pacific students.
Awesome.
It says in the program here, vibrant, moving, blending tradition, it's innovative, it's cultural, it's new and it's fresh. Oh, fresh wave.
Yeah. Straight from the program. I love that, though. Yep. No, that's a good way to describe it. That's a good way to go about it.
Well written like that. You got to share it.
Absolutely.
How long have you been working on this for?
So I'll speak to our work. So me and Lily Mae are collaborators for our work called Become Unravel. And we actually made this work last year in our second year.
Ah.
Yeah, to be presented in our Collab 2 showcase. And so Sefa Inari, the director for Pacific Dance, saw our work and decided to put it into the showcase this year.
Awesome. It's just like another proving point, eh? Like, you never know, one thing can lead to another. One person sees your show, sees your mahi, and they're like, oh, I have something to put that in. I want to work with them. Can you come hang out with me?
Yeah.
So cool. Small industry, eh?
Yeah.
Like,
it's been really special coming back to the piece after a whole year, seeing how everyone's matured and... Yeah, it's awesome.
Has the piece changed much in that time, having taken a year away from it?
Honestly, not too much structurally. It's more the energy that's changed, I think. People bringing new perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. What else have you guys been doing during your study times?
Lots of making?
Lots of making. I love that.
Dancing. Our days are... full of dancing. We're really lucky. We get to be active all day long, every day. At the moment, we've been working with New Zealand Dance Company doing the Tamaki Tour. That's been an amazing learning opportunity, like full immersion. But when we're normally at uni, we focus on either collab or showcase. So making our own choreography or working with the choreographers they bring in at the end of the year.
And what's, in terms of like making your own curry, what's something that inspires you around like your curry or, what's an inspiration?
It's a good question. I love this question.
Yeah, there's so many layers to how you create. For me personally, I'd say my heritage, how I grew up, my culture is how it informs my practice and how I bring that to a stage. And also not to a stage, how I bring it to myself, how I bring it to a dance studio, in any spaces that I take up. Art informs the world informs art.
Yes.
That's how I feel about, Would you say the same?
Yeah, definitely. Like, art is, nothing's created in a vacuum. Like, we make about the human experience. That's what our art is about. It's our physical embodiment of individuality, of our power, our voices, protest. It's dancers' resistance, and I think that's what inspires me the most to make.
Amazing. If you were wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. Stay with the showcase. What do you want people to walk away feeling and thinking after experiencing Moana Showcase?
I want them to feel, period. Sit and feel, because we get so caught up in our lives and busyness and society, you know. It's really special to just have focused attention in a theatre to consume art. And I want people to sit with their feelings, to acknowledge them, to question what comes up, to feel provoked, to just, think.
Great.
Awesome. And so you guys said, so there was three pieces done by Unitech, correct?
Yes.
Throughout this showcase. What about the other two? How many have we got from them? Is it an even split? Are we 3-3-3?
No, not an even split. Two works from UOA students, and I think, is it two works from Zon School of Dance as well?
Don't quote us.
That's okay.
Could be wrong.
You're going to have to come and see it to find out, clearly.
Yes.
Awesome. So, well, your guys' work, what is that about?
Me and Lani's work, Become Unravel, it's about navigating what it means to feel safe in a really unstable environment. We talked a lot about what a dystopia is, how it's not this future thing, we're living in it now. I think that's the key idea in the work, dystopia. How are we safe? Who do we trust? The space, the individual, the collective. How do we, how do we trust?
Yeah.
How do we trust? Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Probably said it beautifully.
You want to jump in with anything here?
I don't know how to beat that, but yeah, it's just, it starts off in like this utopic world with the soundscape being like, twinkly
dreamlike
twinkly, and then it just, how it distorts throughout, and then it creates a story where it's like, oh, has it been a utopia all along, or do we acknowledge this but just still live in this dystopia, and dystopia isn't far off.
Yeah, great. You mentioned Soundscape. Like, where do you get your sounds from? Like, do you have collaborators that give you jams, or do you guys do that? Or
no, for this work, we, you know, trusty old Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for another work that's that we're presenting at Moana Showcase, I work with The Island in My Mouth, is produced by one of our good friends at Unitech. He's a screen student, and his name's Dwayne DeVoe Mataltia. He produced our sound, and we just gave him the description of our work, what the movement looks like, so he got an idea of how we're dancing, and then he just made it just like that.
Amazing. So you had your movement before you had your sounds?
Yes. Like, you can have it before you have it after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But it's really cool to hear that you've had someone who's just come in and has taken what you guys have described and, like, what the feeling is, mm-hmm. and has really, I guess, brought that to life in a sense, in that form of all those sounds and everything.
Yeah, I always would have thought that you would have, like, let the sound inform the movement. I'm doing some really crazy choreography at my work at the moment.
Yeah,
it's not at all. It's it's for preschoolers. So it's very, like, we teach meaning of words through movement.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like my life of choreo is super simple, but we sometimes, like, have motifs. And so when we do trees, when we say the word trees, we do this cool move. For everyone at home, I'm so sorry that you can't see this move.
Educational disco.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you that one. That's a pretty solid description.
Thank you. Are there, like, motifs of movement and or things that you're really passionate about, like, putting into your choreo like that? You know what I mean?
Mm, definitely. I think there's a lot of motifs in all three of the works that we're presenting. Another thing that we were really interested in with mine and Lani's work was object. We've got a motorbike helmet in our work, not to spoil it.
Not the spoiler.
But yeah, it's fun to combine unexpected items as such into this dancing world. That's a big interest of mine.
Is that something that we can expect throughout, not just yours, but, like, the rest is unexpected? Is that a general trait you might see?
Yeah, prepare for the unexpected.
Let's go. So back to you two working together on this piece, right?
Mm.
So obviously artists work together all the time. In the sense of choreography, how does that actually look, the two of you collaborating?
It was actually pretty good.
It was chill.
Like, did you have any, like, I guess, conflicting ideas when it came to this, or did this sort of flourish together? Did you work it all out, sort of, I guess, as a unit, between the two of you, of course?
Yeah, we actually started with some familiar ideas, and I think we worked together through that. And if somebody had an offer, we were able to work around that and, like, oh, that's cool, how about we add this? Yeah, we wouldn't completely disregard their ideas. It was pretty smooth sailing for both of us.
So you actually implemented, like, ideas from your performance as well when it came to
It was a really collaborative process, which I really enjoyed. We had a lot of deep chats, just lots of brainstorming, like, real messy scrawling ideas on the paper before we even stood up to get dancing. We would work a lot with tasks. One of them was, how can you embody grotesque? How can you embody anticipation or anxiety? How can you create chaos in the space? Things like this, like activities, tasks, and we'd write them together a lot of the time. They'd stem from those big brainstorms we had. We'd look for, I remember out of all of our messy pages, we went through with a highlighter and, like, highlighted all the keywords that we were really the most interested in.
Those little things that jump out at you and you go, oh, yes, I want to take from that, I want to take from that.
Yeah, finding the gold.
Finding the gold amongst everything. Because obviously you're going to have so much going on in your head when you're creating something new. You want to pickpoint, you want to pick at what you feel like is really going to have the best impact and what you really want to focus on.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was really clear working with Lani. I think we align a lot in terms of our worldview and it was great.
That's so important to find collaborators that you can gel with like that too, eh? I feel like your process sounds super interesting. I want to get you funding so we can, like, make a doco into your process. You know, when people's, like, process stories are just as interesting as, like, the final product. Do you think this showcase is the end for your piece, or do you think it's just a stage or a season of its life, of its journey?
Absolutely not.
This work this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Nice.
Just the beginning. I love that you put it that way. It's awesome.
Where do you want it to go? Where, if you had all the money, if I got you that funding, and you had all the money to go and do something big with it, where would you want to go?
I would want to create a collective with all of my friends, all of the collaborators I've met, all of the wonderful people who I've had the privilege of working with, and I want to make huge scale shows, tour the country, even the world. That's what I'd do.
Yes.
Just get our voices out there.
Yes.
Agreed. Nice. I'd do the same, tour it nationally, take it back to Samoa, take it to the islands, and then go beyond that. Oh, there's so much to do. So much to dream. Yeah, big dreams.
Hey, you can dream big.
Yes, exactly.
That's totally.
See you guys in
Nadu. Yeah, cool. So you mentioned the islands. Like, that's obviously people that you would love to see the show.
Yes, definitely.
Who else is out there? Like, people, they could be real specific people. It could be like an archetype person. Like, who do you really want to be front row when you guys put this show up?
Yeah, who is this show for?
I think the show is for everyone first and foremost, but especially for the people who feel maybe like a misfit or like they're a bit weird, they're a bit different, they're built different. No, just kidding. Yeah, the sensitive people, the creative people, the queer, the indigenous, I want them to feel represented.
Yeah. I'd say I want my village to be there, the people who have brought me here today, the people who see themselves through us, the creators, the people who are still finding their way, trying to find an outlet for, you know, whatever they're going through. I feel like dance, creative arts are like so important for us right now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Who, like, you see that you made it comment about, like, visibility, right? Like, seeing themselves in you guys. Mm. Who is someone, before we stop for a little song break, who is someone or a company or a group or whatever that you saw when you were maybe younger that inspired you to be dancing, to be making Cori, to be doing what you're doing now? Who is someone or something? It could be an ad. It could be like, yeah, what was something that inspired you?
Oh, that is a good question.
You're really making them think, Taylor.
Do you want a song to think about it?
No, I think we...
Yeah.
Have you got something we can throw to a song? But when we come back, it's going to be more of these questions.
Yeah. I think... I don't know. I think it's just like seeing my family in church doing White Sunday dances, and I'm like, this is so fun. Mm. Or like, you know, those times where it's like, oh, I don't want to do this, but then you perform it in front of your family, in front of your church, it's like, oh, this is my why. I think that's like one of the reasons that pushed me to keep performing and dance. Yeah.
Me too.
Awesome.
Yes. Seeing the joy that can come out of it, the connection, that's the why, that's the who. Want everyone to be able to connect like that.
Awesome. I think we'll throw to a song. We'll come back and we're gonna flesh that out a little bit more. So be prepared to be interrogated.
Oh,
awesome. We'll go to a song now. So later on in the show, we are calling up an artist. We've got Michael Llewellyn, who's got his new song. So we thought we'd tease a little bit of what he's got going on. So this is one of the tracks from his new album. This is called Home Sometime.
Traveling folk, people of the mysteries, hidden in a cloak. And hello, lover, without her by your side, your lonely wooden table for all the tears we cried. For I should go.
to go home sometime. Yeah, I should go home sometime again. Hello, mother, and mother-to-be. Soft as the ocean on your arms holding me. And hello, children, with your butterscotch eyes. You're running around like crazy. We're no different, you and I, for I've been sitting for hours, only wondering if she saw me. Slow moon horizon, many days float on by. For I should go, I should go home sometime. Yeah, I should go home sometime again.
That was Michael Llewellyn, Home Sometime. Alrighty.
We're touching base with him soon.
We're going to catch up with him soon.
A little bit of dance.
On the phone.
A little bit of musos.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys could collaborate one day.
It would be sick.
Who else do you... Speaking of collaborators, okay. Talk to me about more current collaborators that you have in your mahi at the moment. Who are the people that you're working with?
So I just choked up.
You're like, I love my collaborators so much.
So our collaborators for Moana Showcase, we have a work that we haven't made, but we are part of it as dancers, which is Avant Era. This work is made by Komai Wangalevu and Ne Gakusan. And it's basically based around the golden era of ballroom vogue. Do you guys know that?
Cool.
Yes. Yeah, so this is around the 80s in Harlem in New York City. So it talks about how ballroom was used as a form of resistance and self-expression for trans, Black, and Latinx people. They really wanted to encapsulate what happened then and how it's campy, how it's queer joy, how it's queer rage. And yeah, they're wonderful collaborators. They're so strong in their ideas. They're also part of Ballroom in Aotearoa, House of Covenant Kwan, and House of Givenchy, Unity Ball, August 8th.
Little plug.
Throw that on the side.
Yes.
I'm amazing. So you guys are dancers in this piece.
Yeah.
So you take the head off of like maker choreographer, right?
Yeah.
You take the head off and you put the like, I'm just a dancer in this space. Is it like that? Or do you still feed in, make offers like you guys are talking about? What's that like hat switch like?
The hat switch. It's very much still when you're a dancer. Bringing your whole self to the work is really important, especially in Nate and Kai's work. Your identity is crucial to the process, and they were really collaborative, like really open. Most of the choreography that we do is our own, that we made on our own body, but it's their role, I guess, to create the context and the structure and create those layers that give it meaning.
Amazing. Amazing. Anything else? Oh, no. Sorry.
No, I'm like,
no, that's fine.
So
amazing. That's great. What are you, what have you guys learned about, like, it sounds like you make through provocation a bit, like,
yes. Yeah, definitely.
Make through provocation. What have you learned about how to give someone a successful provocation?
Clarity.
Because you've been at both ends of it now. Like, you've offered them and then you've also, like, received them, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, clarity.
And intention. Clarity and intention are the key things, I think. It's really hard when you're a dancer and someone tells you to just make something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can do anything in the world. What do you want?
Yeah. So broad.
Yeah.
But it sounds like then there's sort of these, like, different approaches to making that's, like, use an object, be inspired by an object, or, you know, with the helmet and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, we got one of the dancers in our piece, Tyler Wilson, he choreographed this helmet solo, and it was all about feeling the weight of the helmet on the head. How does that impact how your spine moves? How does it carry you through the space, sort of thing?
That sounds awesome.
I know.
Oh my God.
I love learning about this because in my mind, dancing was like, and move on this step, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Five.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I imagine dance, like, you know, I'm a muggle.
You're a muggle.
Oh, God. That's what I imagined it to be like. So it's so refreshing to hear that there's so many, like, creative input and output when you're, like, making stuff like that. What's the worst thing that you guys have made? Have you made anything where you're like, that was terrible? But surely that's part of it, right? Like, to make something and everyone does like a little, that ain't it. Or you go in yourself like, oh, that's not it.
Definitely. Making work that's cringe and like bad in quotation marks, it's all part of the journey. I feel like I look back at all the videos of me dancing in high school and even year one, and I'm like, wow, I wouldn't make those decisions again. But isn't it so cool that I can look back and know myself better, know my art better?
Mm. So dancing in high school? You started in high school? You started before,
yeah,
right?
Let's go there. You said the word journey, so now we're gonna
take us back.
We're gonna go
we'll
to the journey.
To you both.
Where for you, Lily Mae, where did the arts start for you?
I started young. I started ballet when I was about 5, I think. And I did that for a while up until I was maybe 16. But along the way, I started trying out different styles like jazz and contemporary. It's where I am now. and I did, during high school, I was exposed to a lot of different sort of community-based dance groups, especially Movement Art Practice. Huge shout out to them, amazing people. And I lent more into street dance, community dance. And then that's where people started pointing me in the direction of Unitech. And I was like, oh, wait, the creative side, like what you were talking about before, not knowing that dance could be this incredibly broad, collaborative thing. I started realizing that and thinking, oh, I can say what I want to say. Not like literally, I can, you know, have my creative voice and that's like an actual career. That's awesome. And that's how I ended up here.
Amazing.
That's great. Awesome.
Leilani, what about you?
Oh my gosh, me? It's super interesting. So I didn't start my technical training.
Give yourself some credit.
I've been dancing, like, you know, in the lounge, you know, the little fun ones with your family, maybe when I was a child, but I didn't start my technical training till I was like, in Unitech. I did high school dancing, so the street dance, the NCAA level 1 dancing. But I think when I got to my senior year, year 13, my teacher really encouraged me to go to Unitech. Mm. But I was still in that weird phase where it's like I couldn't decide if I wanted to do this or this or this. And then, yeah, I went and did a gap year. I did some academy dancing. So I was with Saints Dance Academy. I did some Bindi Tuesday dancing or street dance. And I saw the audition for Unitech Dance 2023 cohort. And I thought the due date to audition was like, you know, you can't go back. You can't go there. And so I was like, nah, I'll just email the lecturer and I'll ask her if she can audition me like a solo audition. And I think through that leap of faith, I was able to get into the class I was that I'm in with Lily May. And I'm in my third year now. So, wow.
And you're absolutely loving it.
Yeah, I love it so much. Like going from class one, it was like muscle and bone. I was crying because we're doing like such physical work across the floor. And I was like, I can't do this. Bruh. And now where I am here today, year three, I'm like, wow, I can do these moves without crying.
Well, I guess because in that, we'll say quote unquote traditional sense, you know, a lot of people think you do have to start dance very, very young,
yes.
Especially on the technical side. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole thing that you could go into about like the pros and cons of starting when you're super young and how that sort of plays in. But then now you've come here and you've said you started your technical training literally, what is that, 2 years ago?
Yeah,
I guess at this point.
2-3 years ago. And I think it's the best decision I've ever made. I've made lifelong friends. I've found my own dance practice, what I wanted to do moving forward in life. And yeah, I feel so much more confident in my abilities to dance and like what dance means to me. How can I portray dance? Because it's not like technical like form, it's more than that. It's more than movement. It's political. It's celebration. It's retribution. I don't know. But yeah, it's incredible what you can do through.
And now you get to dance. You get to take all of that knowledge and that ability, and you actually get to create.
Yes, exactly. I've created so many personal collective works with my friends, and yeah, it's just grown to be like it's grown throughout the years, and I just can't wait for what it becomes in the future.
Mm-hmm. No, awesome. Oh, you just said the magic word, which was future.
Future.
Oh, yeah. Future. All right. So you guys are in your final year at Unitech, yeah? So, which means, obviously, we all hate to think about what's next, but...
No, that might be a great, exciting thing, Adam. Don't do that.
Okay, well, personally, myself, I hate to think about what's next. But this show isn't about me; it's about you guys. so what is next for you guys? Whether it's that in that world of dance and creation or whatever it is.
Resting, first of all, a little bit of recovery,
a little bit of a break.
Yeah, but also just spending time being like a human being, remembering what. That your identity doesn't completely revolve around how good of a dancer you are. Mm. Getting some more life experience so that your work is that much richer and deeper. But I mean, I want to apply for funding. I want to, you know, basement theatre, Q theatre. Hit me up, guys. Like, please, please give me a show. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to work with the people that I've spent the past 3 years forming these great connections with.
Mm. Awesome. Leilani.
Wow. I'm definitely making a collective with my friends, wanting to make more work, definitely rest, try out new hobbies that I haven't been able
yes.
to do.
Oh my gosh.
I told my friends I low-key want to take up Taekwondo for some reason.
I used to do Taekwondo when
oh, really?
I was a kid.
Let's
yeah,
go anyway. Take a class next
year. Yes.
But yeah, I want to try like everything outside of dance and then let that inform my practice in the future. Mm. You know?
So yeah. It sounds like life experiences on the list.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nice. Feel
really,
quite young.
Really feel
yeah.
quite young.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if Emma has thrown these out as recently, but I like to keep them in my back pocket for when we want to have a little bit of fun. I sort of mentioned this to you guys briefly in the song break.
No.
But we have a few little standard questions that we sometimes like to ask at Kick-Arts. And the one that I want to throw at you guys tonight is if a producer came in and handed you each individually an open check, any amount, no amount, you can create whatever you want. There is no limit on the amount of money. Okay. What do you think you'd create?
Where are they? Oof. I'd make a work on my family.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
These guys are like, I'm the only dancer. Well, that's what I claim, but I'm the only dancer in my family. So I just love to work because there's a lot of us. There's like 9 of us all together. So making a full length work with my family yeah, just about, I don't know, my upbringing, about our heritage, about our ways of life.
Like, you'd make them perform in it?
Yeah, definitely. I'd get my dad up
so
there.
So the open check is going towards hiring a studio and training all of them, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But then you get to put on the show and you bring out all the lights and, you know, you get the producer to make all the really cool music.
Yes, exactly. I can see it, guys. Watch this
picture. Picture it.
Oh, yep.
Picture it.
Perfect.
Lily May.
Oh, if I was given an open check, I would build a massive, like, arts estate full of studios, full of little places for us to live and collaborate all together, and there'd be a theatre on the same plot of land, and we could put on all our shows, and it would just be like a crazy, massive arts hub. That would be what I'd do with all that money.
That's awesome.
Whoa.
That sounds awesome.
That's pretty cool.
We're in. Whoa. We're in. Not, you're like,
sign
radio invited. So good, so good. It was awesome having you guys in the show tonight. Thank you so much for coming in on your Sunday night.
Thank you.
You've obviously got lots on. It's a very busy time for you guys. What are the final details that we need to know about Moana Showcase? You guys mentioned that maybe it sold out.
Unfortunately, but fortunately, Moana Showcase is sold out. But don't worry, guys, because I have been hearing from the Vine, the grapevine, that there's probably going to be a live stream. So check out socials for Pacific Dance, so Pacific Dance underscore NZ, their Instagram, or their website, pacificdance.co.nz.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's worth writing down, but they might have, you know, cancellations or like last-minute release tickets. Sometimes that happens. So check online.
Don't be afraid. If you really want to get tickets, show up on the night and just see if you can get a random door sale, you know? Just beg.
Email, show up.
Mangere Art Centre, 17th of June.
7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. You can get there a little bit early because since it's sold out, you know, got to get a good car park, maybe come in, get a little something to eat and drink.
I mean, hopefully if it's sold out, we've got some people who actually already got tickets that are listening, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We wish you guys all the best with your show, with your future shows, with your funding that you're going to get, with the rest of your year at UniTech.
No,
hopefully we see you guys back on Kick Arts talking about, oh yeah, just here doing another show, off to Aussie, off to Europe.
Just got my funding,
you know. So we hope that we get to see you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
It's a pleasure.
Alrighty, we're going to throw to another little song. As I said before, we've got Michael Llewellyn coming up. He's actually coming up next. And so we're going to throw to another one from his new album. This is Marmalade Honey.
Nothing that hurts me. sick of hiding with the faces they just fall away from me.
And that was Marmalade Honey by Michael Llewellyn. And, you know, funnily enough, we've teased him throughout the show multiple times tonight, but we have now got on the phone Michael himself. Michael, how's it going?
Very well, man. Good to be here.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Wonderful.
Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in Otaki.
Amazing. What are you up to there?
My partner's parents live here, so we've just been up for the weekend with some friends.
Amazing, wonderful arts, creative space.
And we're interrupting your very relaxing Sunday night, I imagine.
That's perfectly fine.
Awesome. Alrighty. So the couple songs that we've played throughout the night, they're from your new album, I'm Gorgeous. Tell us a little bit about it.
I'm Gorgeous. Yeah, I guess it is a record that been working on for a little while. Most of the songs I wrote 5 years ago when I first moved to Wellington. I was playing with a band at the time, and we kind of arranged them together and then put the music to the songs that I had written and recorded them up in Auckland. What's it about? I don't know. I feel like the songs are so diverse. It's almost leaning into lots of different genres, the good, the bad, the ugly. Some are intense, some are soft, some are forgiving, some are frustrating. I don't know, I think I was just kind of working through the many emotions that we experience, and they ended up in those songs.
And so that's generally where the inspiration for this full album come from, was your different experience, I guess, and the different feelings that you're going through at that time?
Yeah, I don't know. I never really think about it at the time. I just spend a bit of time with a guitar and, sometimes just playing old songs or just passing time. And every now and then something that I find interesting pops up, and then lyrics come out of that. And then sometimes I end up with a song, and I'll tinker with bits and pieces. But it's only ever in hindsight that I'm like, oh, I must have been trying to understand that kind of corner of humanity or something, or trying to make a further understand a feeling that is within me or something.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, the best music does tend to come from not really when you're thinking about writing a song. It's more when you're just feeling something, and then a certain thing sticks with you, and it eventually turns itself into something incredible.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I feel like I'm often trying to write something, or I'm definitely curious as to what might come about while playing guitar. And then certain songs or certain lyrics just kind of stick with me for years, and then they kind of gather meaning in a way.
Beautiful. So this was 5 years, you said, you started jamming these songs. What does it feel like now to hear it all together on a record?
It's pretty beautiful, really. Yeah, it's a really great feeling to be able to listen to these songs that were written quite a while back and be really proud of where they've ended up. I mean, when I was making them, actually, when recording them as well, some friends of mine would be like, oh, I'm looking forward to listening to them. And I'd just say, I'm looking forward to listening to them as well.
Did they all sit in full production around for the 5 years, or they were sort of all just existing in that space of there's lyrics and there's some chords and I've got a song together, and they've only just really become fully produced as of recently?
They kind of existed as songs. There were tiny little corners of lyrics or bits and pieces that I was kind of tinkering with, but the body of it just has existed there for years, and we only really started working on the production of it a couple of years ago.
Awesome. And so do you think that all of the songs have sort of still come out in the way that you originally intended?
I say in the heart, yeah. In the heart, the feeling of the songs, I think, have stayed pretty true to what they are. I never really thought that they would end up being produced in the way that they have been. I think that was to do with the band that I was playing with at the time. I put out an album a while back, and I played a lot of the instruments on it, and that was a very different process. But with this, I had songs and brought them to the band, and we arranged them together, and it just took on a journey, took on a life of its own, because everyone had their different kind of understanding or their different feeling within the song, so they definitely were like pulled around and ended up in shapes and forms that I'd never thought they would have when originally writing them.
That's awesome.
I mean, it sounds like, from how you talk about music and your relationship with it, it sounds like music's been a part of your life for a while. How did you get into music making?
I got into it actually quite late. I was living in Taranaki just after university, and I was just going through a bit of a quiet time, I think. I was kind of taking a break from, I don't know, the kind of partying lifestyle of university, or I just needed some quiet time to kind of regather. And I was living in Taranaki, and I was there for a couple of years, and I just kind of started writing. I don't know, I just kind of fell into it. I started playing guitar a little bit and started writing little melodies, and I got kind of obsessed with it, and it's just kind of come from that ever since.
Amazing. Oh, I love that little humble beginning of just like jamming, pick up a guitar, tutu with the guitar, like find yourself through it. That's awesome. What would you say to other people that are like, maybe they're feeling a little bit lost in life or like wanting to do that? Like, what would you say as a piece of advice for other musos or startup musos?
I would say probably don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And just follow what you find interesting, or just follow curiosity, really. I mean, for me, there's no right or wrong way to create a song or a story or anything. It's just,
stunning. Yeah, great. Be curious. Awesome. And obviously this record is fresh out, but are there more songs we're going to have to wait a while, or what's in the pipeline for you?
In the pipeline, yeah. I mean, I guess this record has taken quite a while from its kind of conception through to the recording and then now for it being released. And yeah, in that time I've definitely been working on kind of another bag of songs, or there's a kind of a body of work that I feel is kind of ready to start being recorded. So actually we're about to go on tour. We'll be playing shows over the next few weeks, and then beyond that I'm really excited to start recording some new songs and explore some different sounds and different textures and things like that.
Awesome. So live gigs, where can we go to find out like where you're playing live, doing a little tour?
Under the Radar. The tickets are on Under the Radar.
Good old Under the Radar.
And then my Instagram, I guess, is kind of the main place where people can find out what we're up to.
Awesome.
And but we're playing in a lot of the main centres up and down the country.
Sorry, and that Instagram is Michael_Llewellyn_?
That's yes, perfect.
Yeah,
so everyone can start stalking you and turn up to your gigs and sing your songs. Is that such a interesting thing, like people singing your songs in front of, you know, like all these songs that you've had this long-time relationship with, then all of a sudden people are turning up and singing your music in front of you? Does that happen?
Yeah. It's kind of surprising every time it happens. I'm like, what, really? You're listening to it? But there has been shows in like random parts of the country and someone's singing most of the words and I'm like, wow, really? What are you? It's very humbling. It's very humbling.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. It was awesome having you chat away about your mahe. Thank you so much for sharing a bit about your journey to music. Any more things, Adam, do we need to make sure our listeners know about Michael's mahe?
I mean, you can... No, you can check him out. So we did just plug his Instagram right there. And that was, so we've been playing the shows throughout the night. That is... from his album, I'm Gorgeous, which came out, I believe that was last month. Was it 20th of May?
20th of May.
So that's been out for about a month, but you can find that on, all good streaming platforms. I will tell you what, Michael, it was lovely to have you here on the phone with us. Now we're going to throw to one more of your songs. So this is going to be the title track from your album, I'm Gorgeous. Would you like to introduce it for us?
Yeah, this song is called I'm Gorgeous, and I hope you enjoy listening to it.
Awesome. there, and that was I'm Gorgeous by Michael Llewellyn. You know what? It was lovely to have him on the phone, and he was right, honestly. A lot of different genres appearing up on that album. Make sure you guys go and check it out, because honestly, I feel like that is that's a pretty insightful into, I guess, the emotion that an artist can feel and when they're creating.
Yes, totally. I think we, right back at the start of the show, we talked about Morris G and this amazing quote that he said, I write because I have to, not because I want to. It's a way of making sense of things. And I feel like...
That ties in so well.
How do you like that? But, you know, both are two artists from our dance showcase, just talking with Michael then. I feel like both of them really talked about... a call to make art work, and as well as it using it as a tool to figure things out, to express themselves, to talk about things.
And drawing in on that emotion as well, you know, that that anger, that feeling, you know, whatever it is. I mean, our two artists from one of they talked about how art can also be political and all things like that. And it has that sense of emotion to it, which is, I think, is incredible, because it seems to be like such a consistent theme, especially with a lot of art that's appearing up now, is that while, you know, it always had that, I guess, that pathway to be an outlet, it's even becoming more apparent in the artwork that we're seeing created today, is that it is a real outlet for your emotion.
Yeah. Whenever I'm on the show, Adam, I'm always like, right, that's it. I'm going to go enroll into dance school, or I'm going to go home and learn how to play piano.
It makes you
want to
do things,
music.
Right? It definitely makes you want to do things.
It really
things.
Does. To be inspired by all these people owning what they do, but doing really amazing, impactful stuff with their work. Adam? Throwing to you.
Oh, no.
Throwing to you.
I'm being interviewed now.
What do you want to make art about? Whether that is helping to produce work, whether that's performing in work, whether that's collaborating in somehow. What's an important thing that you want to make work about?
What do I want to make art about? I'll give you one word, Taylor, and it's a word that is very, very important to me, and that is perspective. Perspective. And I guess that's, you know, everyone has a different perspective and a different outlook on life or on different things. That different perspective can really influence, I guess, what you feel and how all those different things affect you.
Totally.
And so that ties in a lot. I'm not really creating at the moment, I'll be honest. I'm doing a little bit more on the photography side of things.
Hey,
you know, is that different side of
art? That is super creative. And oh my goodness, that is the name of your next photography showcase,
Perspective. I just unplugged my headphones.
Oh dear, he got so excited about my offer of a showcase name that he leapt up out of his seat and he's writing it down, actually.
I'm not writing it down.
No, but you know, like, it's great to be like, you know, Michael talked about things like things he just like dabbling with for a little bit, something, a little art project in the back pocket,
just sitting down with your guitar, or I guess wandering around the streets with your camera. Actually, you know what? I'm going to talk about that now because you got me going.
Off you go.
You know, I did just say the words photography. I mean, perspective is such a cool thing in photography. It's literally one of the key components, is that perspective and that composition, and the different things that you can create with it. And I love just wandering out in the street and just taking photos of people, and it sort of gives you that feeling of, wow, everyone actually has their own complex life going on, and even just understanding that can really change what you feel.
Oh, totally. I think it's great, you know, sitting in a cafe and doing like people watching.
Yeah.
And really watching people to understand them rather than to judge them. You know, so often we're like, oh, gosh, what is he wearing? Oh, my goodness, look at that.
What are you wearing, Taylor?
Hey, leave my sweatshirt and my sweaty and my...
You know, I want to throw it at you, Taylor, because you threw it at me, so I'm going to throw it at you. This is how this works.
Yes.
You know, what do you want to create?
I think what really has stuck with me was... both our dancers today from Moana Showcase talking about how they want to leave drama school and get some life experience. And I think now that I've been out of drama school for a whole 6 years.
6 years.
I know.
So old.
People at home are like, oh gosh, girl, wait till you're out for 30, 40 years.
I'm going to get a text from Stephen later on.
Now that I have that time out and I've done some things since there, I'd love to revisit some of the things I talked about in work that I made at drama school. And one of those pieces was a work about what it means to be a woman And without freaking you out too much, Adam, I had a baby recently.
Whoa.
And by recently, I mean a year and a couple months ago.
I knew this.
And this is one of those key life experience moments that I wish someone had told me, hey, before you go make a show about this, perhaps like have an experience that informs it a little bit better. So I think I would just revisit all those naive topics that Taylor, little third year Toi Whakaari student Taylor wanted to talk about then, revisit those and say, 6 years later, this is the new spin I would have on some of those things.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll find a producer to hand you an open check and we'll get that done.
Thank you, Adam.
We should stop talking about ourselves now. We're not here very often, so I think it's okay.
I think so too.
To indulge a little bit and share a little bit about ourselves. We're going to throw on to our final interview for the night, which is actually not with us. Emma has sent us a little snippet because she is down south. She is working on a show in a week, 6-10 edition with Wakatipu High School, and she has sent us a little interview with some of her performers in that show.
Well, hey guys, as you know, I'm down in Queenstown, so hence Taylor and Adam being in the hot seat today. But this week I'm working on the final week before we go to stage of 6-10 musical. And today with me, I've got three of our amazing team. So let's go down the line and introduce ourselves.
Hi, I'm Indy Hamilton and I'm playing Catherine Howard.
Hi, I'm Jessica Fitzgerald and I'm the assistant choreographer and a backing vocalist.
Hi, I'm Eve Pagan and I'm playing Catherine of Aragon.
Great. So first of all, let's start with you, Eve. Tell us, what is 6-10 musical all about?
Six is about the six wives of Henry VIII and their stories of how tragic their lives were.
Okay, so that sounds a little bit boring, actually. So tell us, Indy, what makes this show exciting?
Well, they host a competition where they each have a song showing their lives, saying how tragic their lives were, and it's a pop rock concert theme, steampunk vibes, everything like that.
Cool. So, Jess, had you heard of Six before it was said at school that this was happening?
I have heard of Six before. I'd watched it maybe once or twice, but I didn't really know it too well, but it's just been such an important musical to me as we've been doing it over the last couple of months. It's been really fun to do.
Do you guys think that if history was taught through musicals more often, that history might be a bit more exciting to learn about?
Yes.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this, when I first heard about this musical, it made me think a little bit about our New Zealand iconic musical, That Bloody Woman, which is Luke de Soma's musical about Kate Shepard and women getting the vote, which is also pop and rock music. So maybe it's something Queenstown should look at for the future.
Yes.
So, Indy, this is your second show at Wakatipu this year. What's that meant for you?
Oh, it's been so good to get another opportunity for another musical. Like, I love our Normal School musical. We did Mamma Mia this year earlier. But, yeah, getting to do another one has been so good with all my friends and everything. Such a great experience.
And this one, I mean, it's been incorporated into more than just you guys performing. So tell us a little bit about what that looks like, Eve.
Well, we're using it for internals and NCEA. So behind the scenes, people are involved in costumes, makeup and hair, and they're all using that for credits and so are the performers.
So it's giving them a really authentic teaching opportunity, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Cool. And Jess, it's been quite different for you too, because obviously me directing means I'm in Auckland and you guys are down here. So what's it been like for you this term?
Well, it's been a very full-on job, but it's been really, really fun. So I've been running quite a few of the dance rehearsals. Even I got the opportunity to choreograph a few things, which was a really great experience, as I was had the same role for Mamma Mia this year as well, but this was a bit more full-on. It was just really nice to have that, like, role and opportunity.
Cool. And what do you think it means to you guys and the school pairing with, like, an outside professional theatre company?
I think it just provides, like, extended opportunities, because in Queenstown it's more limited than somewhere like Auckland, and it's yeah, I think it's just quite helpful.
Great. So what are you most looking forward to, Indy, about the end of the week when you hit the stage?
I'm just so excited to have the crowd interaction, actually get like, yeah, the energy that we need to make it seem like it's a pop rock concert, everything like that.
Jess, if you had to sell it to someone that maybe had no idea what Six was, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it is basically a redirection of history, and it's made into a more modern concept with a lot of fun songs, a lot of fun dance moves, and just a really entertaining piece to come watch.
Awesome. Okay, well, tell us, we're going to talk a little bit about you guys and your history now. So let's start with you, Eve. How did you come about performing and wanting to do musical theatre? How did that happen?
I started performing when I was six in Annie for Showbiz Queenstown. And then since then, I think I've just done like the Queenstown, the Christmas shows and school musicals, and I've just kind of grown a love for musical theatre.
Great. Okay. And what about you, Jess? Where did performing come from for you?
So I have a relatively dance background, so I've been dancing since I've been about two. My musical theatre, I kind of gained an interest in it recently, probably a couple of years ago. I did Hairspray with Waktebu High School, and then I found out about Stage Antics through Indy and Eve as well, and it was just, I did that and I just loved it so much, and it's just been something that I have been really interested in since.
Great. Yeah. And what about you, Indy?
Yeah, the first show I did was the Christmas shows, and then I did School of Rock with Showbiz Queenstown in 2022, and I've just done all the school shows from that, been involved in a couple of Stage Antics productions as well, and I've had all my family are performers, music. Like, my mum does the showbiz shows as well. So, yeah, I've just been really into it with my family as well.
So, is this something that you hope to take further than school?
Yes, yeah. I want to pursue something in musical theatre, hopefully.
Cool. And what about you, Jess? Is performance your track, or is it something else and performance will be on the side?
Yeah, I definitely want to go somewhere with dancing and definitely be involved in more musicals once I finish high school, yeah.
Great. And Eve?
Yeah, that's the goal.
That's the goal?
Yeah.
So music theatre training somewhere? And
yeah, after school, hopefully.
Now, if you had a wish for, say, if your teacher happened to be listening right now, you know, it's a kind of round now that teachers need to start thinking what shows are they going to apply for next year. So what would your dream show for, because obviously for you guys it's your last year at Wakatipu next year.
Yes,
what would your dream show to be put on the stage at Wakatipu for next year be?
I would love to do Mean Girls. Obviously Wright's on out for that, so I would like Legally Blonde as well.
Cool.
Yeah, I've heard some talk of Legally Blonde, yeah.
Anything else though, Eve? What else would you like?
Although it's not possible, love Beetlejuice. Yep, that is another dream.
Cool. Have you got a favourite musical that you'd love to see, Jess?
Honestly, I was going to say Beetlejuice as well. But, yeah, I really, Mean Girls, obviously, but the Right Sign Out, but Legally Blonde also is kind of a similar thing. So, yeah, that's probably.
And I think for Legally Blonde, you've got enough girls here, which is great. So, yes, you know, it always seems to be the same issue, isn't it? That it's the boys that we don't have enough of. Hence why Six was such a good opportunity for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you think about the rest of this week, what's something, you know, leading up to the shows which are on Friday and Saturday next week, what's something that you're most focusing on at the moment?
I think fluidity with scenes and dialogue and all the songs and dancing.
Cool. Jess, what are you having to focus on?
Probably like the backing vocals and just the choreography at the back of the stage, but it's also just like having a lot of fun this week with the process as well.
Cool.
Yeah, trying to get my facials and my body language and everything more seem exciting. Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, business end of the interview. If people want to come and see the show next week, they're already missing out on Friday. Why are they missing out on Friday, guys?
Because it's sold out.
So Friday night is sold out. And so there's only two shows left on Saturday. Whereabouts are the shows happening, Indy?
At Wakatipu High School. And you can buy tickets through Humanitix on Stage Antics Facebook, Wakatipu High School Facebook, Wakatipu High School website. Yeah, for the night, the 7 p.m. show and the 2 p.m. matinee.
Fantastic. Well, Six Wives, all the best for this week. And listeners, I can tell you all about it next week when I'm back in the studio. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Aw, thanks, Emma and team. So great to hear from them.
That was awesome, sir.
It was good to have Stephen and Emma. They think they got the night off, but they didn't really.
Not quite. We managed to, well, actually, Emma recorded that one like last week. So.
Yeah, true. But awesome to hear their voices. They're still part of the show.
It is great to hear their voices. And Taylor, we are just about out of time. we are going to play you guys out with one final song in about a minute or so. We're going to actually play the opening track from Six the Musical since we just had our lovely queens from the teen cast.
Have you ever seen the musical before, Adam?
I have not. I missed out on seeing it when it was up here in Auckland just earlier this year, which was quite disappointing. I was actually working for Auckland Live, who were like putting it on. They had the control of the venue, but I didn't get a shift there, so I didn't get to see it. Which, you know, that's unfortunate. But hey, life happens, and maybe one day I will go to New York or to West End and I'll go see it there, if it's on there or wherever it's on, you know.
That's true. But in the maybe nearer future, have you got any other interesting arts things coming up in your schedule?
Oh, have I got any interesting art things coming up on my schedule? Ooh, let's have a think. Not in particular. I am heading up Lightning Thief, Percy Jackson Lightning Thief the musical, which hopefully they make an appearance on the show at some point before their season starts, and I'm going to be doing some photography for them. Yeah, they open in a few weeks, hopefully they come on, but I'll be doing some photography for them once they pop into the theatre, which is very, very cool. What about you, Taylor?
Well, I go on set very shortly, and when you're on set, your life disappears and all you know is the little green screen film studio that you're in. But while I'm in Tāmaki, I need to go see some more theatre, I think.
Absolutely.
Maybe I need to go and check out the Pacific Dance Festival. I don't know, yeah, but I need to get to some live theatre, I think, while I'm in Auckland for the next 3 weeks. So I have my eyes and ears peeled for good things happening here.
Absolutely. Go for it. Alrighty. Thank you all very much for joining us on the air tonight here on Kick Arts. A huge thank you to our artists that we had in studio on the phone, and Emma and Stephen for both making a very brief appearance. They are both back next week. You thought they were going to be gone for ages, but they're actually back next week for one night only. And then I think I'm appearing at some point again in the next half months. So if you don't want to hear my voice, sorry. make sure you do go check out this will immediately become a podcast. You can check that out on planetfm.org.nz. Emma and Stephen are back next week. We're going to play you guys out with Ex-Wives from Six the Musical. Make sure you all go out there and
kick some art.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Divorced. Beheaded. Died. Divorced. Beheaded. Survived. And tonight, we are
think you've heard before.
We know you know our names and our fame and our faces.
Know all about the glories and the disgraces.
I'm dumb cause all this time I'll be just one word in a stupid rhyme.
So I picked up a pen and a microphone.
History's about to get overthrown.
Divorced, beheaded, died.
Divorced, beheaded, survived.
For you tonight, we're divorced, beheaded, blind.
crush.
You're gonna find out how we got unfriended.
Tonight we're gonna do ourselves justice, 'cause we're taking you to court.
Every Tudor rose has its thorns, and you're gonna hear him live in consort.
Divorced,
beheaded, died.
Divorced,
beheaded,
survived.
We're just for you.
Divorced.
My name's Catherine of Aragon. Was married 24 years. I'm a paragon of royalty. My loyalty is to the Vatican. So if you try to dump me, you won't try that again.
I'm that Berlin girl and I'm up next. See, I broke England from the church. Yeah, I'm that sexy. Why did I lose my head? Well, my sleeves may be green, but my lipstick's red.
Jane Seymour, the only one he truly loved.
Rude.
When my son was newly born, I died. But I'm not what I seem, or am I? Stick around and you'll suddenly see more.
Divorce.
Ich bin Anna of Cleves.
Yeah.
When he saw my portrait, he was like,
yeah.
But I didn't look as good as I did in my pic. Funny how we all discussed that, but never Henry's little prick.
Pack up your ears, I'm the Catherine who lost her head.
Beheaded.
For my promiscuity outside of wed. Lock up your husbands, lock up your sons. Key Howard is here and the fun's begun.
Five down, I'm the final. I saw him to the end of his life. I'm the survivor cat.
Bye-bye, we'll see you in a week. Don't forget to brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars. Saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art.